Sorry. It's 5:45. This is the Morning Sickness. My name's John Holmberg. There's Brady.
Chunky.
There's Brett Vested. Why do you call yourself that? That's wrong. That's just terrible.
I'm getting used to it.
And Big Dick Toledo's there. Yeah. 9 pounds less of me in a day. That was fun.
Wow, Karen Carpenter in the heart. In the
Definitely Karen Carpentering. If Karen did it that way, she'd have busted in half. There was a lot of violent vomiting going on.
I have one conspiracy theory, right, in it. A way.
And if it's a hack joke about taking too much D, I've heard it.
No.
I hate that.
Well, next.
The words, you got a sore throat. I just swallow that D. Oh, God.
Megan might be trying to poison you.
Oh, there's a possibility of that. That's true of every wife. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, that definitely crosses your mind the first.
That Windex casserole you had the other day.
She's been cooking a lot more, I've noticed, and we are running out of cleaning supplies. I've
noticed Ronnie saying, hey, do you want me to make something?
Oh, yeah. She wants to cook. Yeah. No question. That's probably one in 1A of my theories.
The pine saw soup got you.
There wasn't any soup in it. It was just a bowl of pine sauce. She called it tree soup. Yeah, it was weird. So, yeah, it was about 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon. I'm like, I don't feel 100%. Something's not right. Chalked it up to just kind of being tired. And I was supposed to – this is the fourth time now that I'm supposed to go to dinner with Tripp Reeve, our boss. And every time something's gone up. Megan got sick once, and then we were exposed to COVID and had to get tested. And we're like, we don't really want to come around you and see. And he's like, all right. And then I'm on the phone texting him, like, all right, got the reservations for this and that. We're ready to go. You got it. Tuesday night. And I was supposed to also have a drink with Kevin Ray and Dale Hellestray, who wouldn't leave me alone. Dale's lonely. Dale needs me. Like, he needs me. He wants to come over for football. And I'm like, look, nobody's at the house. We're not doing anything. Just me, Johnny. Come on. I'll be here. Be just you and I watching the game. Like, are you kicked out of your house? Do you need to go to, like, a male sojourner center? Is that what those – I don't know what that is. But so I had to cancel with those guys. Canceled with Trip. The lengths I'll go to.
To get out of stuff? Yeah.
I just laid down at about 4:30 or 5 o'clock, I guess, on Monday night and said, I'm not going to be able to move. And if I do, I'm going to fire a big chocolate fountain right out of my body. And I'm not so sure that's going to. So there I was with the bucket on one end, sitting on the toilet on the other, filling both.
Twins. You have Trip a complex here.
It was brutal. Yeah, you know what? Good. Keep him on his toes. Keep him on his toes a little bit. He's getting a little comfy, I think. 6-7 years here. He's starting to cement himself down. It's like, yeah, you know what? Got to keep him guessing. It was awful. Just awful. And then 17 solid hours of nonstop body hemorrhaging awfulness. And I still can't talk. I don't know.
After the show yesterday, he came out of his office and looked in our office, and it was just Brett and I. Mm-hmm. I think he was peeping around to see if you were there or not. Like, if it's real.
If I try to coach him through, I don't like this at all.
He's not there.
Oh, you guys stuck around after 10, huh? Mm. You don't have to, you know. You can go home immediately. In fact, go home at 9. Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. And I'm trying to figure out what got me. I can't. The only thing I could figure, I cleaned the lines of my beer keg. And that's the only.
But you did that a while.
I did it a while ago, and I've had beers out of that since. And I'm not sure if I knocked mold loose or if there's cleaning solution in there that finally got in, or I don't know what it is. I have no clue what got me, but it's the only difference in what I ate versus what Megan ate. So we're trying to, like, break it. Unless it goes back a few days and I just ate something and it got me late. But, man, oh, man, did it get me. Yeah, 9 pounds. All I could eat was popsicles. That's it. Because it was just trying to stay hydrated at some point. Get something in there. Oof. And then I'd throw up these cherry, orange, and banana-flavored sugar-free popsicles. So it was actually the vomit started to taste fairly good. I know you like hearing that, Brett.
It's great.
Starting towards the end when it's just popsicle juice coming back. But you know what was really bad? Crackers. I ate a bunch of mini saltines just trying to calm things, and I tried to pound, and those came up as something brand new. That was an
experience. Papyrus?
I don't know. No, they were mush, but it was just in.
Yeah, you spread it out, dry it out, and you got paper.
Yeah. Oh, I could have. I could have made. Was that Indians used to do that? They'd vomit up their own paper. I think you're right, Brady. I think that's what it was. But it was definitely a sick day, like in school, because I watched The Price is Right. I got a couple old movies that I couldn't, I got through that. Barely. I'd fall asleep all the time. But game shows, And then an episode of Different Strokes I'll never forget. I text you guys about it.
I heard that one.
Oh, it's hilarious. And they were trying. It was a very special. You know, on Different Strokes, always had on a very special Different Strokes.
Yeah.
Different Strokes had a very special Different Strokes. So I'm flipping around. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen Different Strokes forever. Sick days are all about reruns. So I'm watching old Different Strokes. And this one was awesome because it was shortly after Arnold and Willis had gotten to Mr. Drummond's place. So it was probably year two or three of the show. And Willis, the older of the two, wanted to go back to Harlem to celebrate his birthday because his buddy wanted to throw him a birthday party on this very special episode. So basically what the special episodes were was they were going to make some sort of social point. They were going to – it was – you remember when Nancy Reagan showed up about drugs? And,
they got him out of a good – a bad situation.
Yeah, well, a lot of times it was just to make some sort of statement. Dana Plato, the Kimberly, had an eating disorder there for a little while, and she threw up all that cake and – yeah, it was pretty. So this one was Willis wanted to go back to Harlem, and they were going to have his best friend's family was going to have a birthday party for Willis, and they were all invited. Mr. Drummond, Mrs. Garrett, the daughter, all of them. And when Mr. Drummond heard it was Harlem, starts about 7 p.m., he's like, nope, not doing that. And he's like, and Willis is like, come on. He goes, we're not going to Harlem at night. No. And he's like, well, take the car. He goes, you think I'm taking my limo to Harlem at night? No. And Willis is like, it's because of black people. You don't like it. And he storms off and is like, oh, geez, this is going to get deep. And then Arnold's like, I don't want to go to Harlem at night either. I'm used to the penthouse. I like you. And he basically starts to kind of Uncle Tom Arnold a little bit and starts to give him some heat. Mr. Drummond comes up and says, I'm sorry, I was wrong. We'll go. And then the whole time, Mrs. Garrett's on the phone trying to get a cab, and cabs won't go to Harlem at night. Nobody's going. He's like, well, this doesn't look good. They finally get to the party, and they start dancing. Well, every turn, they're nervous about someone that comes in the door because a black guy will come in the door. And this one kid pops a gun in the door. And he's like, everybody freeze! And Philip Drummond just drops to the ground screaming at the top of his lungs, hands his wallet over. And it was a kid with a little fake gun that shot out a flag that said happy birthday. And they scared all the white people. And then the other neighbor heard the music from the dancing and stuff, and he pops by the window of the house that the party's at. And the best part is the audience was clearly all white too, because when the one guy walking through the area looked in the window, the whole audience went, oh, black guy in the window. And, then, of course, he just climbs in the open window. Mr. Drummond loses his mind, hands him his wallet. Mrs. Garrett fires off an air horn. Like one of those things. They all drop to the ground again. And it's like, no, 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 that's just our neighbor. He goes, I just heard the music and wanted to come down and start dancing. It's like, well, that's all it takes? And then a cop walks in the door. Mr. Drummond's like, no, no, officer, we blew off the air horn. You don't need to be here. And the lady's like, yeah, he does. And she gives him a kiss. She goes, this is my husband. He goes, oh, a black cop? And so they were all just like blown away at like black people coming in the door. And at the end, the whole message was, we have to get involved with each other or we're going to be afraid. But it's the most racist thing I've watched for 22 minutes in my life. And I was dying laughing the entire time. But in the, you know, remember the bike store guy that raped Dudley?
Yeah.
The big guy from WKRP.
Arthur Carlson. Yeah. He violently rapes Dudley. And Arnold was wise enough to get the heck out of the bike shop when he
Maytag man. Arthur Carlson.
Yeah. That's right. He was the he was also Maggie's father on Growing Pains. Very few people remember that. Lived in an RV. But the yeah, it was weird. So I started watching reruns and stuff and just couldn't
you
get
enough of
that.
You didn't catch The Tonight Show, did you?
No.
I'm guessing you didn't.
I did not.
Because not many people did.
No, nobody's watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Jimmy Fallon stuff.
967,000 people.
There's times,
people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? That The Tonight Show is under a million. That massive franchise of television is...
And leading the way is Kimmel, and it's 1.6.
He's barely got anybody. Yeah, all combined, they would have lost to the worst ratings that Leno and Letterman had.
Yeah.
Which was, they dwindled down to 4 and 5.
Yes.
On bad nights, they were at 3. But for the most part, they were heavy. And then when it all just got crazy, like down to the 2s, it's terrible. Yeah, late night TV's awful. I did also watch.
But they re-upped them.
Oh, yeah.
They extended
his contract. They make so much money on those shows, it's silly. Did you ever see, is this it? Is this the...
Yes.
Willis's birthday already.
Get him with it. I never shake hands with girls.
Why
nice
not?
Work, Rich.
Because I want to save something.
All right.
This is the one.
I told you, Mr. D, everything's going to be real cool at this party. There's nothing to worry about.
Mr. Drummond's so nervous.
Right, Willis. Now I feel a little foolish about it.
There's a gun
in the door. Don't nobody move. Everybody hit the deck.
You got to get it to where the guy comes in the window.
Hey, it worked out.
Did you guys know how Arnold and Willis got there? I know, you know, their parents died. Do you know how?
I thought it was their housekeeper or something, the original housekeeper. Yeah,
nice work. Yeah. Brett Vesely, well-versed in the Different Strokes subtext.
Yeah. I wasn't allowed to watch that show.
Oh, because of the black people. My grandpa was that way. My grandpa said, get them out of my house. I'm not kidding. My grandfather was, I got to wonder if my grandfather in Pennsylvania ever saw someone of color. They were in such a small town. They came from Sweden, which is, you stay white in Sweden. And they all moved from Sweden to this little tiny place in Pennsylvania. I'm not so sure, but if Different Strokes was on, and he's like, what is this? And here's the dude. Black guy in the window.
All right, hold it, pal. Hold it. Look, we don't want any trouble here.
Okay, Mr. Drummond.
I'll handle this, Willis. All right, now look, here's my wallet.
It is funny, but it's funny for all the wrong reasons. Yeah, Mrs. The Jacksons, Arnold and Willis's mother, was Mr. Drummond's housekeeper, and she died of cancer in like a horrible way, and on her deathbed asked Mr. Drummond to take the kids. I thought they died in a car wreck, but that was Webster's parents.
Yeah.
It's insane. and then they write a sitcom around it. And then it gets funny. Well, wait a minute. These kids are traumatized by the death of both parents or the lack of one and the death of the other? Yeah. And then what? Oh, no, it's going to be hilarious. We got a funny little kid. And I'm like, wait a minute. How's this funny? These kids are traumatized. This is misery.
And everyone got along.
Yeah, it'll be fine. And Arnold couldn't have been more than 2 or 3 when it happened, so he's all used to it. But Willis would have struggled a little more. And it proved out later that Willis had some problems. The show is terrible. I love old reruns when you just stumble on them like that.
But. And then it even got worse when they brought that kid in.
Danny Cooksey.
Yeah.
Oh.
The coffin nail.
Oh, the coffin nail. Big time. Dixie Carter was his mother.
Yep.
Oh. Brutal.
What was that little jerk's name?
On the show?
Yeah. Arthur or something, was it?
Oh, yeah. He had a dumb name, too. I just remember he's the one who very, very nearly destroyed Terminator 2 and also was... The coffin nail. And that would have had to be rough for Gary Coleman, too, because he had to look around and go, oh, they brought in another cute kid, but this kid's terribly annoying. His name was Arthur or something like that. Oh, you're right. The coffin nail. So, anyway. And then I watched Family Feud, and I haven't watched that in forever. Huh?
Sam McKinney?
Sam McKinney. Oh, prick.
Bastard ruined it all.
Yeah. And, like, at that point, Arnold was, like, 31. Yeah. We had all learned at that point that he was only little because his kidneys got ripped out when he was a kid. So he was like 14 when everybody thought he was 6.
The network actually made sure they didn't grow the kidneys.
And they ripped their kidneys out. Yeah. So Sam came along and was like, you're very cute. I'm going to rip your kidneys out and you're going to shrink.
Keep them that way.
Family Feud's question last night was, name something your grandpa would say, how do I turn this darn thing on about? And the answers, and one of the ladies goes, my grandma. And it's like, ah, ha, ha, and that was up there. And then so nobody got the 6th answer. And they go over to this family, and the lady goes, Granny's vibrator. I'm like, all right, let's see if it's up there. Granny's vibrator. Sure enough, Granny's vibrator was one of the answers. I'm like, this is rigged. Why would Grandpa ever shout out to anyone else,
how do you turn this thing on?
Why would Grandpa be using the vibrator?
It fixes in. Yeah,
completely. But I'm like, this is filthy. And so I watched another couple episodes. Game Show Network was on all day. Alfonso Ribeiro hosts a show called Catch 21, and I don't know when he turned into Pedro Martinez, but they look exactly alike.
They do. Oh, my God.
It's the exact same guy. So it was an interesting and in between all this stuff, I'm losing a pound every hour by just honking. In that trash bag, there's nothing worse than feeling better and then going, all right, I got to clean up. The trash bag I was using in the can was heavy. And it took about half of what I had to offer, because I after the back end stopped on me, I just used the toilet to go mouthies. Brady's swallowing a little heavy. I think. So I went to take this 30-gallon full, and it's sloshing around and stuff. And I'm like, wow, there's a lot of. And I went to lift it out of the garbage can, And I'm like, there is a lot of weight to this. And I worried that the acids from inside me
it
were going to eat
through. Like
and
an alien.
So I took the whole thing out.
You thought you were going to have a Breaking Bad with
kidding.
Your own juices?
You put that on a scale, I would have guessed 12 to 17 pounds.
Oh, my God.
It was that's I'm a, like, wow, that's a
that's
lot.
That's a balloon.
It was heavy. And I wanted to leave it out to see because the dogs were unbelievably interested in that bag. Just pour it out
they
on
the
ground.
They want some of that
jankum. What you got in there?
Oh, man. And I would tie it up when I was done. And then when I'd untie it, the smell it unleashed. Oh. Well, I had to, Brady.
Why?
I had to. I had to.
Brady's going
to
be out now tomorrow.
Otherwise, I was going to start throwing up in the bucket, and that would have been wrong, too. So I just did a loose knot and then folded it over itself, go back into bed and lay down for a little while. And then I'd go, oh, oh, and I'd make that crawl over to the bathroom and untie the bag and then sit down. And the smell was so bad. I think I'd thrown up more because of the smell. And it was bad. It was so bad. It was just, and then mix that in with what was going on back door. Forget about it. But I highly recommend eating some mold if you've got some holiday weight on. This RM3 thing
weight.
Is solid.
Yeah.
And get rid of the COVID weight in one moldy piece of bread. I know it's not healthy, and it is just awful, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody but Pratt. But. It was 9 pounds, like lickety split. And then I rehydrated slowly, so I didn't just pile it back in. Woke up this morning, I'm still, hanging around the 8 to 9 pound loss. Not going to do much working out, so I'm going to stay, cool.
You feel maybe appetite?
Appetite's back. I took a big nap yesterday and woke up, and I'm like, okay, we're clear.
Yeah.
And then I had some soup, because that's what you always do. It's easy, because the reason I figured soup out, it took me 50 years, but I figured soup out. The reason people give you soup when you're sick is in case you start throwing up, it won't be rough.
Yeah.
That's got to be the only reason. It doesn't cure anything. But, it's real smooth
and
stuff.
And the saltines were supposed to soak up everything, but not with
nothing.
You.
Nothing. Made a baseball out of it.
Paper mache.
You know how owls throw up their food and
pelt?
That pelt? I was doing those. That noise would just come out.
Like a hairball.
It was like a big hairball. That's what it was. But I'm all right now, I think. I might have COVID. Who knows? I don't know. I asked Larry and Tripp if I should get tested, and they said, anything to keep those guys from doing another show. I'm like, all right.
It was such a dad moment yesterday. Finally, Tripp gets done with some of his meetings, and Larry comes in to me and Brett. You guys want to meet with Tripp? And we're like, oh, no.
Not really.
Did he want to meet with you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And then he goes,
Brady jumped out as soon as he could. He was the platinum was doing 90 down 52nd Street. He was out.
So Brett and I and Larry go into Tripp's office, and he sits down, and he goes, Larry told me that, hey, it's not bad today. They kind of did.
Oh, no.
And I have to tell you, it was pretty bad.
He came down on you.
Oh, yeah.
It was like your dad giving you a chore at home, and you did it, and you thought you're pretty proud of yourself.
You missed the
you're
corners
like,
and the middle.
I did it. You didn't get any of the edges. You didn't. You missed this area over here. It was pointing it out. It was so awesome.
Well, we all know you guys suck.
Of course.
Well, yeah.
We said it yesterday.
Yeah. There was no bones about it.
But that was such a dad moment.
But there's only room to grow. So the next time,
we got nowhere
Brady's
up to go.
Got the optimism.
Either Brady knew what was coming or something. Because Brett.
No offense, I didn't listen because I knew. But hey, I'm just happy you guys got through it without me getting a phone call. Brady's a dick. What do you do? Well, he just thinks he's in charge when you're not there. I'm like, oh, for God's sakes. Just you guys got along. The day went by. It's not a normal thing. Whatever. Well, thank you. I thank you all for sucking your way through for it. I got to call. Look, the only thing I heard was Larry said the guys are doing great.
Yeah.
If you need another day.
Larry was like a proud uncle.
Yeah. Larry said it. He goes, if you need another day to just kind of recoup, I think they've got this. It's just refreshing that no one's acting like an idiot. And I'm like, well, thank you. And then Tripp called and said, if you need another day, I'm going to burn your house down. Not kidding. Bye. So, well, thank you for not fighting. That's all I cared about. That's it. It was an awesome thing to not get a phone call while you're crapping out a lung. Hey, we need to talk, man. When you're not there, something's different. I'm like, yeah, it's not an audition for a new job. Just get through the day, for Christ's sake. It's 6:05. Let's get a wake-up song, shall we? 585-9800, a good one. And we'll scream it together. It's 98KUPD. Wake up!
98. Oh, my gosh. 98. Shut the front door. Yeah.